Good morning, and welcome to Mincer's second quarter 2017 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At this time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of i-advize Corporate Communications. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to Mincer's second quarter 2017 earnings call. We have with us today Mincer's senior management team, who will discuss the company's second quarter 2017 consolidated results after the press release distributed on Monday, August 14th. If you have not yet received a copy, please contact i-advize in New York at 212-406-3693, and we will immediately send you a copy. Please note that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken at this time. If you're a member of the media, please contact the company directly. I will now introduce our speakers. Joining us from Lima, Peru, we have Mr. Juan Luis Kruger, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Gianfabio Carozzi, General Manager of Peruvian Operations. Also, please be advised that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call, and they do not account for economic circumstances, industry conditions, the company's performance, or financial results. As such, these forward-looking statements are based in several assumptions and factors that could change, causing actual results to materially differ from the current expectations. For a complete note on forward-looking statements, please refer to the last page of the earnings release. At this time, Mr. Juan Luis Kruger will initiate his presentation. Mr. Kruger, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and thank you again for joining us today for this conference call. Despite our volatile business environment during the second quarter, Mincer delivered strong operating and financial results with significant improvement at Tabuada and continuous progress in our growth projects, B2 and Marcobre. A little bit of context, metal prices were very volatile during the quarter. Tin prices reached a minimum of $19,150 per ton and a maximum of $20,805 per ton. That's a swing of close to $2,000 per ton during the period. Gold also experienced fluctuations as a result of the uncertain international environment, ranging from a low of around $1,219 per ounce up to $1,294 per ounce. Nevertheless, the company's strategy and focus persist on efficiency and cost reduction efforts that will allow us to remain resilient to the volatile market conditions, as we will see later on my speech. Operationally, tin production reached 6,661 tons for the quarter. This is 2% higher than in the second quarter of last year and above the company's original expectations set out at the beginning of the year for the second quarter. Gold production reached 23,295 ounces. That's 16% lower than the same quarter in 2016, but in line with our production plan. At the same time, niobium and tantalum production reached a record of 659 tons for the quarter, which implies a 36% increase compared to Q2 2016, and also in line with our production plan. Moving on to individual operating results. This time, I would like to start with Tabuada, as I believe it has been the star performer of the quarter. At Tabuada, we made significant progress during the quarter. As we reached record refined tin production at Pirapora, we produced 1,934 tons of refined tin, which is 36% above the same quarter last year, mainly due to the higher volume of concentrates processed at the furnace and higher and more efficient treatment of slags. We also increased significantly our production of niobium and tantalum alloys, reaching the record of 659 tons during Q2 2017, 36% higher than the previous quarter last year as well. This strong increase was mainly due to the progress in the ramp-up of the new niobium and tantalum flotation plant and our new metallurgical plant. We're currently working on optimizing this process in order to further increase the niobium and tantalum production. This positions us very well to meet the current annual production guidance of between 3,500 tons for the year of ferroalloys or niobium and tantalum. In terms of cost, cash cost per ton treated was $19 in Q2 2017. That's 2% lower than the previous year as a result of the higher volume of ore fed to the concentration plant and the company's continued efforts to reduce operational costs. Moreover, these positive impacts were achieved despite the 8% appreciation of the Brazilian real, which added significant pressure to our cost structure in US dollars during the quarter. On a byproduct credit basis, it's very important to note that Taboca's cash cost per ton of refined tin in Q2 was $13,391 per ton. That's slightly lower than the same quarter last year, mainly explained by the higher ferroalloy production levels. Importantly, this positions Taboca strongly in the second quarter of the cost curve of the tin industry, and we expect to further reduce this cost going forward. As a result of this very strong operational performance during the quarter, Taboca generated a positive EBITDA of $7.3 million during the quarter, and a positive EBITDA on a cumulative basis for the first 6 months of the year of $2 million. Taboca should improve this financial performance during the remaining of the year as we finalize the production ramp-up. Q2 has marked the first quarter of positive EBITDA generation for Taboca and clearly reflects the impact of the turnaround strategy that our team in Brazil has been implementing through the last 2 years. We're very optimistic, and the focus of Taboca now is to stabilize the operations and consolidate this turnaround story. Now I would like to move on to San Rafael, where production during the quarter reached 4,794 tons of tin contained in concentrates, which is 5% higher than Q2 2016, despite the lower head grades coming out from the mine. This increase was mainly due to the better performance of the ore sorting plant, offsetting the lower tin grades fed from the mine, which was very important for us during the quarter. It is important to note that the ore sorting pre-concentration plant, which initiated operations in June 2016 and has been improving its performance since the beginning of operations, has exceeded the initial operational parameters set for this breakthrough project for the company. In terms of refined tin, the Pisco smelter produced 4,727 tons, 6% below the same period last year, mainly due to the fact that we had higher than usual production levels obtained at Pisco during the same quarter of the previous year as a result of the destocking process of the concentrate stocks that we had in the smelter in order to reduce inventory levels. In other words, during the same quarter last year, we were pushing very hard to optimize our working capital by reducing our concentrate stockpiles at the smelter, and that pushed production up kind of artificially in the second quarter last year. That's the main reason why we're showing a reduction against the same quarter last year, despite the strong performance during the quarter. As a result of these better than expected outcomes, we are updating now our production guidance of refined tin for the full year to the around 17,500 and 18,500 tons from the previous range of 16,500 to 17,500 tons level. In other words, our guidance for the year is being reviewed as we speak and increased by 1,000 tons of tin for the whole year. Cash cost per treated ton at San Rafael reached $62 during the second quarter, and that's a 40% reduction compared to the second quarter last year. These improvements were the result of the temporary processing of low-grade ore stockpiled at the Cancha 35 pile. As explained previously, this effect is temporary as this low-grade ore is expected to be consumed by the end of the year. However, we will start processing waste deposits which become economic with the ore sorting technology. As a result, we expect to extend this process well into 2018. Excluding this effect, the cash cost per ton treated would have been $103, which is as well below than that of Q2 2016. This is just a reflection of our continuous effort to keep reducing our costs and seeking improvements in productivity and efficiencies at all of our mines. As mentioned before, we continue to explore the further processing of waste dumps from the San Rafael mine after we deplete the low-grade stockpiles from the Cancha 35 in order to extend the production coming out of the ore sorting technology further into the future. We feel confident that will be achieved, and probably we will be in a position to give further information by the end of this year on that subject. Cash costs on a refined ton of tin basis during the quarter was $8,409 per ton treated. That's an increase of 6% compared to Q2 2016, mainly due to the lower volume of refined tin produced. Finally, it is important to highlight that the company is carrying out a drilling campaign to replenish resources and extend the life of the mine at San Rafael. During a successful second quarter of 2017, we were able to drill and identify 400,000 tons of ore containing 6,900 tons of fine tin, which have been already identified and included in our resource base. As well, during the first 6 months of the year, we have identified 705,000 tons of ore that contain 13,100 tons of fine tin, of tin metal. These results only consider the exploration efforts that we're performing within the underground mine infrastructure. They do not include the results of our brownfields explorations. They certainly provide us with a very positive outlook for replenishing our mine resources, giving us confidence on extending the life of the mine at San Rafael, which is a pattern that we have been following for the last 3.5 years. Moving on to Pucamarca now, during the second quarter of 2018, production reached 23,295 ounces of gold, which represents a 16% decrease compared to the same quarter last year and in line with the company's annual production guidance of around 90,000 to 100,000 ounces for the full year. This decrease responds, as we all know, to the lower head grades being mined at the moment, which are in line and in accordance with the current mine plan. In terms of cash costs per ton treated, we closed the quarter at $4.4 per ton, compared to $4.1 per ton in the same period of the previous year. This effect was mainly due to the lower volume of ore treated and higher production cost for the quarter. Nonetheless, these results are in line with the company's annual guidance of between $4.5 to $5 per ton treated, which was announced earlier this year. I think that it is important to remain highlighting that Pucamarca is still one of the lowest cash cost gold mines in the world. Moving on to our long-term projects, it's important to share with you that the feasibility studies of both our D2 and the Mina Justa projects continue making very good progress and are close to concluding the feasibility stage. We expect the study for B2, including the independent peer review, to be completed by the end of the third quarter. On the Mina Justa project, we expect the feasibility study to be completed by the fourth quarter. Still, and as commented during the last conference call, preliminary results on both projects indicate very strong business cases. So we remain very optimistic, and we should be moving into transitioning into the execution phase during the last quarter of this year for B2 and early next year for the case of Mina Justa. With that, I would like to conclude my presentation, and let me pass the floor now over to Gianflavio Carossi, our CFO, to walk you through the financial results for the quarter.
Thank you, Juan Luis, and good morning to everyone.
Now moving on to the financial results. Uncertainty in the financial markets and a volatile international environment was reflected in volatility in commodity prices, as described by Juan Luis at the beginning of the call. However, commodity prices have remained strong during the quarter, which has positively impacted our financial performance. Also, the Brazilian real continues to be highly volatile as a result of the political instability in Brazil, which has impacted costs at Taboca and our P&L. In this context, net revenues for the second quarter reached close to $171 million, that is an increase of 10% compared to the same quarter of the previous year. This increase was mainly explained by higher sales of tin when compared to the second quarter of 2016 as a result of an 18% higher prices and a 3% higher volume sold. However, this was partially offset by lower volumes sold of gold and ferroalloys. Gross profit during the second quarter of 2017 was about $71 million, that is a 29% increase compared to the same period of the previous year. This increase was mainly due to positive operating and financial results at Minsur from improved commodity prices and at Taboca. Administrative expenses in the second quarter of 2017 were $10.7 million, that is a decrease of 9% compared to the same period of last year. This decrease was primarily due to lower workers' profit sharing in Minsur in the second quarter of 2017 compared to the same quarter of last year. However, it is very important to note that the second quarter of last year was affected by higher workers' profit sharing accruals, which were later on reversed. Excluding this effect, administrative expenses in the second quarter of 2017 would have been about $10 million, which is in line with that reported in the second quarter of 2016. During the second quarter, exploration and project expenses totaled a little bit over $10 million. That is an increase of 2% compared to the same period of last year. This increase is mainly due to higher investments in brownfield explorations at San Rafael's and Pucamarca's surrounding areas. These higher expenses were also offset by lower expenses at the Marcobre project, as these are now being capitalized following the transition from pre-feasibility into feasibility phase. As a result, EBITDA reached close to $64 million during the quarter. That is an increase of 36% compared to the second quarter of last year. Taboca contributed significantly to this EBITDA improvement, as it recorded a positive $7.3 million EBITDA in the second quarter of 2017, compared to a $2.7 million loss in the second quarter of 2016. That is a $10 million improvement quarter over quarter. EBITDA margin in the second quarter of 2017 reached 37%, notably higher than the 30% obtained in the second quarter of 2016. In terms of net income, we reported a $9.8 million net income, which is a decrease of $10 million compared to the second quarter of 2016. These results were heavily impacted by exchange rate losses of about $6.6 million in the second quarter of 2017 when compared with $7 million gains in the second quarter of 2016. That is a negative variation of close to $14 million. And also by losses from subsidiaries, primarily RIMAC, which showed a $3.7 million negative variation between the second quarter and this year and the second quarter last year. Excluding the effect of results from subsidiaries and the exchange rate differences, adjusted net income in the second quarter of 2017 would have been about a little bit over $22 million compared to $14.9 million in the second quarter of 2016. That is a 48% increase. In terms of capital expenditures, the company invested close to $29 million during the quarter. That is an increase of 15% compared to the second quarter of 2016. During this period, CapEx was mainly allocated to increasing the B3 tailings dam capacity and concluding the B2 pre-operating studies at San Rafael. In Pucamarca, key sustaining capital investments were related to the expansion of the leaching pad. while investments at Avoca during the quarter were mainly focused on the new niobium and tantalum flotation plant, the expansion of the niobium and tantalum smelting facilities, and short-term tailings disposal. In terms of liquidity, Minsur concluded the second quarter with close to $558 million of cash and close to $597 million in debt, composed mainly of Minsur's senior bonds and Tavoca's short-term debt. This resulted in a 0.2 times net debt to EBITDA ratio. The increase in debt levels responds to Tavoca's necessity of short-term financing in order to conclude the ongoing projects. In summary, this was a quarter of strong operating and financial results, mainly impacted by higher metal prices, important progress on growth projects, ongoing cash preservation initiatives, and the first evidences of Tavoca's much-expected turnaround. We are committed to further enhancing our operational and financial performance in order to maintain strong operating margins and to position ourselves to take maximum advantage of the current commodity price cycle. Last but not least, today is my last conference call as CFO of Minsur. As you perhaps read in the earnings report that was distributed last Monday, I am taking over the role of General Manager of Peruvian Mine Operations in Minsur, effective August 8. In my replacement, Diego Molina is assuming the position of CFO of Minsur. I officially want to welcome Diego into the team as new CFO of Minsur. I will remain on hand to support Diego as he settles in. Thank you for your attention. With that, I conclude my presentation. Operator, please proceed to the Q&A session.
And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, that's star and one to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. And we'll take our first question from Hector Cochantes with Credicorp Capital. Your line is open.
Good morning. Thank you very much for taking my question. I only wanted to have some views on perhaps a guidance for 2018. What would you say could be the main changes? I know perhaps it is preliminary, but your ideas will help us very much. Thank you.
I think it's very early. Thank you for your question, Hector. I think it's very early to give out any guidance at all for 2018. However, we remain very optimistic on Tavoca's improvement. Tavoca had a difficult first quarter this year and a very good second quarter, and we expect to consolidate the positive results in Tavoca in the remaining of the year, as I mentioned during my speech. So Tavoca should have a much better performance next year, perhaps slightly better than Q2 normalized. In terms of San Rafael, we believe is going to be pretty much in line with our original guidance for this year, next year, pretty much stable profile. Pucamarca will probably be on the lower side of our range for this year, and our projects will start getting into execution next year and construction. It's very likely that B2 would be in full construction by mid next year, and that Mina Justa could start construction somewhere in the second half of next year, depending on the project financing. So that's very high level and, of course, very preliminary.
Thank you. Actually, I was interested in knowing whether there is another milestone that we should expect to confirm whether B2 and Mina Justa are moving forward, or shall we start to say that 2018 could be a year of increased capex and that development is for sure coming in? That would be perhaps one of the main changes. Thank you for the preliminary advice on the operational data.
Yeah, well, we follow a very rigorous gate-staged process to develop our projects. So what we call Gate 3 is basically the approval of the feasibility study. And Gate 3 only happens if the feasibility study is positively reviewed by an independent peer review group, which is a world-class group of experts who come, you know, and for more than a month get into all the details of the project. And if their review is positive, then we will take the feasibility study for approval at the board. We expect that to happen late in Q3 for B2 and late in Q4 for Mina Justa. Mina Justa will go through another gate, which is Gate 4, prior to the start of construction. And Gate 4 will require not only, obviously, the full feasibility study, completion of detailed engineering, and the definitive estimate on the capital, but also the project financing secured so that we can actually, at the board level, approve at Gate 4 the full construction decision. That should happen somewhere during Q3 next year, the second half of next year. So those are the milestones that you can expect.
Thank you very much, and congratulations. Thank you.
And once again, that's star and one to ask a question. And that is star and one. And we have no more questions at this time. I would like to turn the call back to Mr. Krueger for any closing remarks.
Yes. Thank you again for your continued interest in the company and joining our conference calls every quarter. I want to make a final remark in terms of what Gianflavio announced at the end of his speech, because it's clearly a very important decision that we have taken, giving him the operational responsibilities now as part of, I would say, a very successful professional development process and succession line that we have set for him. So I want to thank Gianflavio for his very hard work and extraordinary contributions as a CFO of our company. And I'm sure as, you know, his new role, he will continue delivering exceptional performance. And also welcome Diego Molina, who is somebody who has a very significant experience both in our industry and other industries to the new CFO role. I'm sure Diego will keep up the excellent work done by Gianflavio. In the future quarters, you will be